Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Monday morning, Monday, November the 27th, 2023. 22 minutes past the hour, 29 degrees and mostly cloudy skies in the area here. And we are in the full swing of the holiday season. And there are certain traditions we have here at this station that we have done for many, many years. And this morning is one of our favorite traditions. We head to a place not too far from here, Santa Claus, Indiana, to talk to a lady who is Santa's favorite elf, without question. She was the author of a book a few years ago, Letters to Santa Claus, The Elves, by the Elves, forwarded by head elf herself, Pat Cook. What a pleasure it is this morning to talk to Pat. Pat, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's a beautiful sunshiny morning, a little cool, but beautiful. And we are in the holiday spirit, and we are busy, and people are coming to our little town, and we're just being as friendly and hospitable and giving, showing them the Christmas spirit.
Now, Pat, tell people about Santa Claus, Indiana. How did it become a thing, and what is it like this time of year?
What is it like this time of year? This time of year, it is very, very busy. We are receiving so many people. I really, possibly because during COVID, and that's still on our minds, I think, and then the unrest in the world, people are just coming to visit and to find a really small town of 2,500, maybe if that much, and a beautiful Christmas atmosphere that is rural, that is really very real, not full of neon lights and a lot of sparkle, but just really genuinely the Christmas spirit, which of course is being hospitable and loving and caring and greeting guests and people who are on their way to somewhere else or who are here to visit. But we're very busy. It's been a very busy weekend after Thanksgiving, right before and after Thanksgiving. People stopping by, and we're just really enjoying it. It's so wonderful to see so many people that are coming to enjoy our little town and Santa Claus, who's here when he has time. You know, he has to go back and make sure they all are getting those toys ready. So we are doing the best we can, and we're very busy, but weekdays are usually a little more quiet.
What are some of the great places to visit in Santa Claus, Indiana, if somebody were going to make the trip there?
Well, there are really many great places to visit, and I hope I don't forget one of them. Which one, of course, that I'm most proud of is the museum, which I founded in 2006 to help to keep the history correct and to document the history and have documents from how the town was named and pictures of the statue when it was built and the first original post office in the town and the original church. So we will have a very solid, real history. And I think what's good about our museum is that it's people can wander around out on the grass. We have tables out there, benches to sit on. Kids can roll down the hill where Santa sits and the statue sits atop a mound. And it's just fun. It's just fun. So, and it's also the place where children who come to visit can write a letter to Santa, put it in the magic mailbox, ring bells so the elves know that that letter has been sent or given to Santa. And so it's, and they can buy gifts and things for their friends and t-shirts that say Santa's elves or believe. And they can just have a really good time. There's also a wonderful Christmas store which is in the shopping strip, which is by the grocery store and the present big post office and some other shops. But the Christmas store is just delightful and has some really unusual gifts, some expensive, not so expensive. There's Fontanini's, which is a sculpture, and you can buy that crib set, and it's absolutely beautiful. So I've mentioned the museum and the Christmas store. There's a little shop called Santa's Toys, and right now they have reindeer on display, I think on weekends. People love to see the reindeer, and they have a wonderful assortment of toys. There are also shops like Evergreen, where you can shop for Christmas clothing or any kind of clothing. There's also the real post office up there that you can mail your letters and get the commemorative stamp, and that will happen after, I think, December 1st, which is coming up soon. And then there's the Candy Castle, which was the Candy Castle and the statue were both built in 1935. And the Candy Castle has things for children and lots of toys and games. And they also do a chestnuts roasting by the fire. And you can find all that online, I'm sure. The Candy Castle, the statue, the museum, the store. There are many churches to go visit. Right now we have Festival of Light, which goes through Christmas Lake Village, and they have their homes all decorated with wonderful lights. The campground, which used to be Lake Rudolph Campground and is now Sun Outdoors Campground, has a drive-through light show telling you the story of Rudolph and how he got picked, which is just lots of fun. You can drive through and the children can read the story as they go through. And we will have our big parade on the second weekend of December, and that is just so much fun. All the fire trucks, we just obtained the original pumper truck in the town of Santa Claus, and it will be in the parade for the first time in many, many years. So I think I've hit on most. There's a couple of wonderful places to eat and get pizza. Of course, S&S Barbecue and Fat Daddy's Pizza. So we have just a little bit of everything. Come and see us.
Oh, it sounds great. Now, Pat, for those who don't know, how did the town get the name Santa Claus?
Well, there are two stories. One is the legend, which is very interesting and unusual. The other one is the truth. I will tell you the truth first. The postmaster from Fulda, there are many German names around here, decided that this little town of Santa Fe should have its own post office. It was growing. It had a school. It had a creamery. It had a blacksmith. It had a church. And it was growing. So he made an application to, on the document we have in the museum, the application is made to Washington City in 1856. And it says Santa Fe at the top. And it describes the property where this post office would stand, or where the town is. And so someone wrote, you know, before the time of computers, wrote Santa Claus. And that was scratched out with black ink. And then somebody else wrote something that looks like seed lick. We can't really tell, but it looks like seed lick. And that was marked through. And then somebody else wrote the name Santa Claus above with an E, which is not correct. If children are listening, Santa Claus, C-L-A-U-S, does not have an E on it. My grandmother always called the town Santa Fe. Now, the postmaster, whoever got the document, the application, wrote, choose another name than Santa Fe. They either didn't see the two E's or just paid no attention and said, there is already a post office named Santa Fe. You can't have that name. So somebody wrote Santa Claus with an E. We know not who that person was, but with that writing of that person, it changed the history of the town and the area. Now, the magic of that is we have the document in our museum. The man, the postmaster who made the application, his name was Nikolaus Fischer.
Mm.
So Nicolaus himself made the application, which I think is wonderful.
That is.
Now, the legend is that the townspeople were in the general store trying to decide on a name for the town. The circuit rider preacher's name was Christian Wittenbach, and they had almost decided on Wittenbach when they heard bells and they heard the noise of reindeers and they heard ho, 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 and the children shouted Santa Claus, and the townspeople said, that's it, that's the name. Now, that story has come down through many ages, but we don't think it's true.
Now, I do want to let people know that to send your letter to Santa Claus, it's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Pat, when do the letters start coming in?
The letters have been coming in all summer. The letters are coming out of the boxes in the elf room where the elves help Santa answer letters. Already 600 letters have been answered to children in China, so they will get them. We have some sad news, and that is that the letters that we are writing to children in Russia are being returned, which is very sad. But you see, we get letters from all over the world, and we try to get those out early so they will get them in time for Christmas. And so the official opening of the elves answering letters is today. And we already have volunteers, and many people are signing up to come and help Santa. He's very busy, you know, getting toys ready and making trips, and so he has to have help. And I think last year the elves and Santa answered 23,000 letters, which is a lot of hours and a lot of time. But it is so much fun, and it's also sad sometimes.
Mm.
Children do pour out their hearts to Santa Claus, and that's wonderful. And we try to help in any way we can.
You know, Pat, I definitely want to get back to the content of these letters in a second, but I think letters have gone to Russia before. Do you know why they're being returned this year?
No, because the year before, they were not returned. So we do not know. We have no idea. But I know... We're very organized because we have to be in order to get all this work done. And there is a big tray with international letters, and I will look and see. We will try again. It's the postage for international letters is over $1. I think it's $1.50 or something. And, of course, our postage bill is very high every year. But everything is volunteer, Scott. Nobody pays a penny for anything. So we depend on donations, and we get them. And we're going to continue the work that was started, we are told, in 1914 by the postmaster at that time, Mr. Martin, and then carried on by my father when he returned here after World War One, and helped the postmaster and got it more organized. So it's a great legacy in the town to keep these letters answered, and I get very upset when people sell letters from Santa Claus.
Yeah, but
we do it out of our hearts.
Absolutely, and it's interesting that the letters got here from Russia, but can't go back for some reason.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. That's so hopefully that gets all ironed out.
And I will make a plug right now. If there are any teachers, or if you know any teachers, please ask them to get their children's letters now, because there are so many letters here. And I realize you have classes of 20s and 30s, and it takes quite some time to get that done. And we want the children to get it. And then, of course, we don't know when their break starts, and we want them to get it before the break. So try to get them in soon, like this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, not that people should wait till the last minute, but what would you say is the last date that somebody would be able to send a letter in to get
one
back?
Well, we're saying the last date is the 18th, because Christmas is on the weekend this year, and you see the post office is only open a half day on Saturday and not at all on Sunday. So we'll have to get them out by the 20th in order for them to arrive. Now, we do try very hard. We open every letter. We try very hard to get out anyone we think is, well, they're all important, but like locally, we're in Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois, Ohio, hoping they'll get there. But a letter won't get to the state of Washington or California. You know what I'm saying? So it's difficult, but we try very, very hard.
Now, 23,000 letters answered last holiday season. What does the operation look like there in Santa Claus, Indiana? And how many hours a day are you there?
12, usually. 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening. Of course, I'm 92 years old now. My family's saying you shouldn't be staying so late. But we have volunteers. Usually we try to be 8 to 5 if we can manage that. You know, we want to be aware of the fact that there are people who have jobs and people who are teaching school, and they can't come during the day, so they can come later in the evening. So, you know, if you can come like from 3 to 6 or something like that, that's perfect. It gets so dark. It's so dark at night and early now. We're just in a dark, dark season. But we have I have a wonderful director of the museum, Kathleen. She's very organized, and she has a sign-up genius, it's called. And so if you go on sign-up genius and sign up, you'll get so if you sign up on a day, we can have 14 people in our little room in the original post office building. And so if she already has 14 people, she will let you know that, could you choose another day? So we have it organized, and we know who's coming, and we give you a tutorial. It's very important. So many things about the letter answering is so important. One thing that's very important is that you spell that child's name correctly. That's very important to that child. And, you know, Megan is spelled a couple of different ways. Lots of names are. And that you say something very special and for that child in the letter that the child has mentioned, like, I'm going to have a birthday at Christmas. Oh, Santa's so happy that you're having a birthday on his special day. That we make them very personal, because that's important to the child. And, you know, Scott, I think it's absolutely wonderful that children believe, because I believe, and there is a Santa Claus, you know, that is really true. That spirit of loving and caring.
Absolutely. Now, Pat, at 92 years old, how many years have you been doing this?
About 80.
80. My goodness. Now, is it still the same every year?
No. No, not at all. Actually, a couple of things are different and have been different for the last few years. We used to do cursive. We have to print. And that's one of the things we have to let our volunteers know. And you have to be able to print legibly. Not everybody writes or prints well, you know, doctors who are very educated. But we have to print, because children, we have saved letters from a long time ago and have them displayed. In the 30s, children wrote beautiful cursive, in the 40s even, but no more. So it has to be printed. You have to know how to address an envelope. And, Scott, children and young people don't know how to address an envelope because they're not writing letters and addressing envelopes. And that has to be done carefully also. If you don't have, thank God for smartphones, you can look up addresses and zip codes. But it's all done very carefully. And if one doesn't want to print or can't print, there's jobs like putting on the stamp, and we have daubers to close the letters, and then we put them in that piles of 50s to count them and get them out. So there's something for everybody. And then we also, I think I've told you before, that we have to shred the letters so that the addresses are kept private. So we have a shredding machine. If you can't, some young kids like to shred. But we have other jobs besides just answering. But we have a core group of volunteers, or at least we have had in the past, maybe 8 people that come real often, say 4 times a week, or some come every morning for a while. it's a very short season. You know, this it's going to be over in 3 weeks. Yeah. So we have to get it done. I just finished doing a school, and there's a gentleman up there this morning that's doing a school. We try to get those schools out that are in so the children will get them. And the elves, of course, are helping Santa. And one of the special things that we try to do is if we have letters from children in the same family, that they go out the same day. Because how horrible if one child gets a letter and the other child doesn't. All those little things that we try to take care of.
You know, Pat, people love to hear this. How did this all come to be, and why did it come to be?
Well, do you mean the letter writing?
The letter writing.
Well, I don't. What I know is that research shows that the letters were coming into the postmaster in 1914. Now, the first letters I found that have been answered, and we've kept them and they're on display, is 1930. So I think, I'm pretty sure, that the postmaster for years had some way of answering letters. I have no idea how many letters came in. I don't know. I know who the postmasters were. But that was a big job. And when my dad came home from First World War in 1930, he saw how overworked the Santa Claus postmaster was. And he had volunteered to help. My father was a very giving, caring man. And he organized that with the help of the elves to take the letters to the local high school where the typing classes could help, and to the local, we have two monasteries where the priests and nuns could help, and took them out to people in their homes and just had people help. So that's really what I know about. I was born in 31, and by the time I was 12, which would have been in 42, I was helping my father and the elders at home. And they were still going out to homes. Now, I will have to tell you a bad story, and that is that someone got a child's address, and there was a bad thing happened. So we cannot let letters go to private homes anymore. They must be done on site, and we're very careful about that. Mm. We're very careful. And to shred the letters, we keep letters to display and possibly make another book, but the address is always covered. And when people from TV stations come, we always don't know, no addresses, no children's names, because we have to protect those children.
Absolutely. Pat, you talked about how giving and caring and helpful your father was. Did you ever talk to him about why this was so important? And what did this mean to him throughout his life?
Well, there's a wonderful story, and I have several pictures. He was in World War One. He joined the Navy at the age of 19, and he was on the USS New York in Brooklyn Navy Yard. And the sailors decided to have a Christmas party for children. And someone said, "We need a Santa Claus." And somebody else said, "There's a guy on ship that says he's from Santa Claus, Indiana. Let's get him." And I have pictures of him on the board the ship with children. And it was a wonderful, wonderful day for the children. And which I have that he said, and it's been documented, "Dear God, if I live through the war, I will always do this." And he was in this service for 14 years, came back to this little town, and as I said, then started helping the postmaster and helping Santa Claus and helping to carry on that tradition. And he did that from 1930 until 1984 when he passed away. So it was a long, long life of caring and making children happy and really believing all over in parades in New York and California and Florida and local parades, and just being so precious with the children and so loving and it was a wonderful legacy that he left to my brother and I, and my brother sadly passed away in 83. But I have carried that on, and now my daughter, who lives in around here also, and her children are carrying it on. So it's a family legacy, and it's a beautiful one, and I'm hoping very much that it's always carried on.
You know, Pat, that is a wonderful story, a promise made to get through the war that he kept all his life. That's a tremendous story.
Yes.
You know,
if Santa Claus lives in so many people's hearts because of him, very truly.
Absolutely. You know, Pat, when you look at this on the whole, a lot of people could have turned it over to other people or not kept the family tradition going. Why was it important to you, after your brother and father were both gone in the early 80s, to continue on with this? And here we are at 92 still doing it.
Well, it's just, it's part of our lives. For me, it was part of my life from the time I was 12 years old. And, of course, I went away for 10 years, became a nurse, and wasn't here. And other people carried it on. And wonderful woman, or a couple of women, farmed at Santa's Elves Incorporated as a nonprofit and did a lot of wonderful things. So, you know, we have to give credit to a lot of people who know how important this is, living in this town. And I couldn't not do it, if you know what I mean. And as at 92, I love doing it. Do I know how long I'll be able to? No, I don't. But I feel sure that someone will pass it on. I had last year, two of my granddaughters spent a week here. The one lives in Indianapolis, and one in Alabama, and came up to help with letters. So I think the family realizes the legacy that they have. And then, of course, there are just many people in this town that are also very, very do wonderful things. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Pat, was your mother much involved in this?
No, not really. For some reason, well, she was a great cook. She kept kind of quite healthy and plump. And took care of the Santa suits, and not quite so much. Mother lived to be 98, and did do some appearances with Santa, but not many. It was more of a private person, and let Santa have the spotlight, and I think that was okay.
Yep. I think you're right. Pat, you talked about the content of the letters. The first thing, and I always ask you this every year because I think it's fascinating, what are kids asking for here in 2023?
Mostly dogs. I can't believe how many kids want a puppy. And, of course, one of the things that the volunteers are cautioned about, do not promise one single thing because you have no idea what Santa's going to decide, right? I mean, whether that puppy's going to come to their house or not. Puppies are big. Also, of course, any kind of earbuds and anything, you know, that I don't even know the names of, many earbuds and computers and, I don't know. Squishimals are still good. Those are the little toys that squish. And some girls especially want a horse. It's all over the place. There are some kids who say, I don't want very much. There's another child that will send two pages of wants. So it just differs from, I always praise a child who says, I only want one thing, but bring my brother a nice toy or something like that, because that shows that they're caring about their brother. It varies from year to year. I can't really, I've probably myself done maybe 200, answered 200 to 300 letters, but they go very quickly. And, of course, this year Barbie things are real big again because of the Barbie show, a lot of pink stuff. So it varies. You know, one year it'll be something like the year Frozen was real popular. Everybody wanted a Frozen. And it's amazing what the TV ads do.
Yep, absolutely. Pat, you talked about the emotional content of these letters. What are some things that stick out to you over the years when it comes to things kids want? Because not everybody does have a lot of money and access during the holidays.
Well, we cry sometimes. We laugh a lot. It's darling to see how believing and how wonderful children are, and we hope they keep that. There was one that, or a couple that I never forgot. One was a young man that said, "I know that I'm not like other people, but I wish they wouldn't think I'm stupid." And it just broke my heart, because he probably was a special needs child, and it's true. He's not stupid. He's just different, and being different is okay. This one was a little bit funny, and I wish I had it. I had it on my wall at Holiday World, but it somehow got lost. The young man said, "Please make my dad smarter." Which I don't think his dad liked too much. But anyway, the ones that we have gotten letters from a man who's in jail asking and sending his children's addresses and asking Santa to send a letter, and that's really very sad. We get letters from children asking us to cure their mother or grandmother of cancer. They pour their hearts out. They really do. They tell the truth in their letters, and that's wonderful, I think. I think that's just great. Mm. I hate my sister. Well, please try to love your sister. because you will love your sister when you get older, but not now, I understand. I don't give my sister those boots with the toes, because she'll kick me. But we just get everything. It's amazing. And then some of them are beautiful and saying, "I don't want much. Please help the children that don't have enough," and things like that. So it's a great, great thing to do. And time goes very fast. We share funny letters. We share sad letters. And, I caution. Please check. If you see your child's letter, I think sometimes the letters go out with parents seeing them, but please check to see that they have a complete address. We look them up, but sometimes we just, and that we can read them, because sometimes you can't read it. I know you understand that, and you have to hope you're getting it right. So if we want every child to get a letter back, and the only way we can do that is with help.
Absolutely. Do want to remind everybody again, the address: Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Get those out as soon as possible. Now, Pat, I was looking through the book this morning. I love the book, and there was a letter in here that I wanted to read this morning on a kind of a comical note here. Now, the letter is dated October 30th, 1973. Now, this is typed. Now, this is from Jim to Santa Claus. "Dear Nick, it came to my attention last year that I was in a low priority rating on your list. This I find to be understandable, as there are many people who must be accommodated. Nonetheless, I feel that such attention should be immediately paid to me, if not sooner. If your activities do not change during this year's worldly romp, and I do not receive top priority rating, I shall be forced to take the following drastic action. Number one, your Goodwill vending license will be revoked. Number two, your reindeer will be exchanged for anteaters. And three, your elves will be requested to turn in their union cards and return to the rank of fairies. Please give this serious consideration. Please give serious consideration to this matter. Season's greetings, Jim." You know, what a letter.
Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. The adults write. Of course, I love when Grandma writes a letter and tells us about the child and asks so sweetly that they get a letter. Grandmas are wonderful, and sometimes they're so careful to make sure that everything's right on the letter. But it is, and I always tell people, and it's happening again this year. Somebody came in last year, let's say, and immediately they're saying, we want to come back. You get hooked. You realize that it's such a good thing to do, and you enjoy it so much and go away feeling good that you just want to come back. And that happens often. So I know I have a young man that's coming this morning at 9 o'clock that came last year. And that's so helpful, so wonderful, because they know the rules.
Yeah, well, and Pat, when it comes to funding, obviously postage costs money and things of that nature. If somebody would want to help out, how would they do that?
Well, they would just use the same address, write to Santa's Elves Incorporated at P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana 47579, and say that this is a donation for the cost of the postage. Many people, some people, do put $1, $5 in an envelope, and that's very helpful. And sometimes the school will put a $20, and every once in a while somebody comes along with a big donation. But if we don't get enough donations, then we take it, out of the museum or find somebody to cover it. But And nobody ever pays for the letter or the stamp or anything about it. It's free. It's done out of love.
You know, Pat, to do this every year, it must be exhausting in a way to be there 12 hours a day, but you have to feel tremendous accomplishment when it's done.
Yes, and it is exhausting. It really is. It's you're there and you realize that these letters have to go out. And that's one of the things I hate to do. I want people to have fun and enjoy it, but we can't sit and talk to each other or spend a lot of time doing something else. The goal is to get letters in that post office going to these children. And so sometimes I have to say, okay, and we're very proud when we have a day and we get out 500 letters a day, because that's amazing. And, of course, we have an amazing man I call the mail elf, M-A-I-L-M-A-L-E. He has to go take all that to the post office and then stamp it with the commemorative, stamp. It's a local child, a student, draws a picture for this every year for this stamp, and it's different every year. And people want that stamp up in the right-hand corner. It's very pretty, usually with a picture of Santa or the reindeer or something. And he has to stamp all those. So sometimes he's one of these people likes to do it all himself, but sometimes we have to help, because that's, the process of getting the letter, opening it, reading it, then addressing an envelope, and then finding a farm letter that pertains to that child, and then making that letter personal, and then putting it in correctly so when the child takes it out, they see Santa's picture immediately. They don't see writing. And then closing it, and then stamping it, and then getting it to the post office. That's a lot of steps.
It absolutely is. Pat, what is the age range you see of the children writing letters?
Well, we get letters with just scribbles, so that's a baby, or maybe a one-year-old, but somebody has put the address at the bottom. So from that to usually five, maybe start printing. The greatest amount are probably the 7, 8-year-old, somewhere in there. And then, of course, we start getting ones, well, the kids in school told me you're not real, and we have to say, Santa is real. Your friends are wrong about that. But anyway, it's, and sometimes an older person writes, or a person with some health problems. They come all ages, except I would say printing themselves is probably about 5 or 6. And then that's, not real, real good sometimes, but 7 to 12 is about the range, I think, of most of the letters.
Now,
Pat, some adults. A lot of letters come from adults. It's amazing.
That is very interesting. Pat, in our remaining 3 minutes here, how will you spend the holidays this year?
Well, I hope that it will be, I'll be coming in 19th, 20th, trying to find the letters that need to go out. And then I have three remaining children. I've lost two children. But I know that two of them will be home. One of them will be gone on a trip and come in on Christmas Eve. But I have 13 grandchildren, so I'll have lots of company. Everybody brings food, and we don't do gifts because we just spend time together and play games and do some history. I always get their attention and tell them some stories about their father and grandfathers and the legacy that they have, and just have a nice, prayerful, quiet evening, eating and enjoying each other.
You know,
that's really what we should do, I think.
I think you're right. Pat, people always ask this question this time of year. What is the true meaning of Christmas? What is the true meaning of Christmas to you?
The true meaning of Christmas to me is love and caring for one another and then serving one another, which is what we do when we're doing letters and we're bringing joy. We are here to serve. We're here. That's the rent we pay for living. We're not here to get something for ourselves. We're here to serve others and help to make the world a beautiful, peaceful, happy, loving place. And that's really the meaning of Santa Claus. Santa Claus brings joy and love and compassion and caring and makes people happy. So that's what it's about. I think giving gifts came about, and it's wonderful, especially for children. But it's slightly overdone, my humble opinion. But gifts are wonderful. Just getting together as family is what makes Christmas so very special, because families are all over the United States and even foreign countries now. So it's special to be together.
Want to end on this letter today. Dear, this is from the 1980s. Dear Santa, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I've been a bad girl. I'm very sorry. My name is Kimberly Ann Browning. I'm in the fourth grade. All that I want this year are some fashion jeans and a Ken doll. Sincerely yours, Kim. P.S. Some people call me Kim and some people call me Kimberly. And these letters are very, very important. And, Pat, I know you've been received several awards, some in the last year that are very prestigious there in Indiana and beyond. And nobody deserves it more than you, because this is a very, very, very important thing. And it wouldn't be the holidays if we could not speak with you prior to the holiday season. And, again, it's Santa Claus. P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Pat, you are the best for what you do, and thank you for taking some time in what I know is a
very
busy season to speak with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you, and blessings to you, and Merry Christmas to everybody. Keep the spirit alive. We need it in our world.
Merry Christmas, Pat.
Thank you.
Pat Cook, Santa Claus, Indiana. Doesn't get any better than that. All right, for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.